Thousands of years have gone by since Adam and Eve's first sin, when God gave them a promise of a Savior who would win. Words from the Baby King, Concordia Publishing House's new Christmas arch book. The Baby King would make a great Christmas gift for children, grandchildren, and godchildren ages 5 through 9. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December, The Baby King.
Whatever our beliefs, we know that the birth of Jesus Christ and the story of this incredible life forever changed the course of human history.
Actually, he's willing to serve even the very couple in this case, anything they wanted for any occasion, except for a wedding, because it's not about the customer, it's about the message, which was to affirm that same-sex relationships are marriages. He doesn't believe that, and he doesn't want to create a cake expressing that message.
Evangelicals understand, in large part, our emotions to be like antennas to catch the impressions that come from God.
East Africa LCMS missionaries love Issues, etc., especially on demand. Bwana Yesu asifiwe.
It's almost kind of a ordinary thing for us to think about this. What movies are coming out? Well, the dates on the trailers say December 21st or December, whatever weekend is closest to people's vacation and the time when they're going to be out spending money anyway. So why not go see the next Star Wars movie, right? Holiday movies, we call them, but they don't have to be holiday themed, just have to come out around the holiday season, a big money-making season for Hollywood. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 7th of December. We're going to talk about how Hollywood celebrates and makes its money during the Christmas season. Aaron Wolf of Chronicles Magazine will be our guest. A little bit later, our series, Christ in the Old Testament. Today, we'll be talking about Psalm 80, Restore Us, O God, with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Feel free to join us over the next hour. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about how Hollywood celebrates Christmas, Aaron Wolf, managing editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture, and author of a recent column titled Hollywood and Bethlehem. Aaron, welcome back.
Thank you. It's good to be back, Todd.
Why does Hollywood love Christmas?
Well, I'll give you 49.3 million reasons why they loved it in 2015, and that's the number of dollars that Star Wars The Force Awakens gleaned on Christmas Day of that year, which is quite a number. And, it's money is the answer. They Americans have time on their hands, and apparently we at least think we have a lot of cash on our hands, and that is a day when Americans like to go to the movies.
What are we getting at the movies? You actually talk a little bit about sitting through, I believe, that very movie on, I don't think you went on Christmas Day, but you went apparently somewhere near its opening, which, if I recall, was a Christmas opening for the film. What do we get?
Yeah. It's, I hate to be the naysayer because, kids like Star Wars and they're not trying to plumb the depths of the deep themes involved and so on, but I just can't help but sit there in wonder. And when I see things like, this tiny, tiny girl, the one who, I don't know if she is the Last Jedi or what, but the film that Star Wars, The Last Jedi is opening, I guess, the 15th of December, and will be undoubtedly a big box office haul for this Christmas season for Hollywood. But the main character, this girl that has so much of this force inside of her, this mystical element that George Lucas came up with, that when they started making the prequel films, tried to give it this kind of Nietzschean quality, this like quanta Nietzsche talked about, that the Superman, the Ubermensch, has a lot of this stuff. It was actually, they called it, I think, midichlorians, that this girl has so much of this mystical stuff by virtue of her birth that she can just do about anything without really any training and without any obvious physical attributes that would suggest she could do these things. So I'm sitting there watching as she's just discovering in this climactic scene of that film that she has the power to make a lightsaber fly across the forest floor into her hand and then proceeds to beat the tar out of a man who admittedly looks like a snowflake, but he is twice her size and runs some kind of evil army, and yet because she is she could just beat him up. And so this to me is just kind of a typical feminist theme that we see in a lot of movies today and a lot of television today, cloaked in this kind of superhero girl power mentality. It goes, they were doing this with things like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, where, she just has this quality that no one can describe that's mystical, that allows her to wail on, muscle-bound men twice her size. And I think that is, for whatever reason, appealing in Hollywood. And it was particularly strange, I thought, as a movie that America was consuming on Christmas.
You say this, Hollywood, and you've mentioned or alluded to part of this already, Hollywood is a sewer of moral contradictions where nature exploiting hedonism and what you were just talking about, nature denying egalitarianism, meet. Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, it's the contradiction that we all live with in this society that sort of sees, its norming norm, if you will, as Darwinian evolution, right? That you have, there's this process that, this omnipotent and deterministic process that just churns out organisms that yearn for dominance. And the ones that achieve the dominance, the fittest, they make it, and they proceed to evolve on, and then the weaker, the poor little limping gazelle just gets devoured by the lion. That's the basic underlying concept today in your university education. And yet, if we apply that to society, then you wind up with Nazi Germany, which, at least Adolf Hitler was consistent with all that. So I mentioned before even these weird parallels between the kind of superhero idea that Hollywood likes to, it's, my goodness, making so many films, Marvel films and DC films and television series, et cetera, that all have this kind of Nietzschean, ubermensch, Superman mentality. And yet, we also don't want to live in Nazi Germany, and we want to, in the West, live in a society based on these principles of the Enlightenment: liberty, equality, fraternity, abstract, not tied to anything that a creator, let alone the real creator, would have sort of baked into the cake of creation. No moral direction other than whatever society gets together democratically and decides is acceptable and desirable. And we as a society have decided that egalitarianism, that the elimination of barriers that are in place in nature, in the very nature that we celebrate as this omnipotent, mindless force that's causing evolution, we suppress that and come up with all kinds of theories to try to justify our suppression of that, because we know that we're something other than lions chasing gazelles and just eating those who are weaker than us. And so this is the contradiction, because the whole stew, the whole putting those two things together is unsustainable. And I think we live with that every day. We see that in these conflicts and talking about in the courts recently on the show, and you know, and in the news every day. You know, how can we stay in tune with these principles of liberty and equality without denying that Darwinian evolution is at the root of our very reality? And so, I mean, I think that Hollywood just is that contradiction writ large, and we're seeing that in the Me Too controversy that's going on. It keeps spinning out. It just when you think it's sputtered out, it comes back into the news, because Hollywood wants to give people a product that they are, that on a guttural base level, they're going to want to just go out and be entertained by and spend their money on. They want to make money. And I know not very many people go to the blockbuster feminist film about celebrating leftism, because there aren't such blockbusters. Those films are the ones that might win Oscars. The big film celebrating the glories of the Washington Post with Tom Hanks and Meryl Streep is going to debut, I believe, on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. But people don't want to go, typically big audiences don't want to go see that. They want to see something they find entertaining. And yet, the contradiction is in place that to participate in that, to enjoy that, you have to defy the kind of liberal, egalitarian impulse that rules our courts and now rules our society. And so you have things like, I was thinking about this the other day, this series Mad Men, which had the kind of, you know, it was very well liked, and even critics and audiences liked this AMC show. And it had the same kind of principle at work in it that the old Archie Bunker series had, which is that, you know, a liberal makes a show about this person we're supposed to hate, Archie Bunker or Don Draper and all of his friends in their misogyny running around the office. And so, you know, they show us the occasional consequence of this, that, you know, he's an adulterous man, and so, you know, this works out badly for him with his relationships with his wife and children. And yet, the whole impulse, the whole vibe of the thing is that you're kind of enjoying seeing his success as a misogynist adulterer. And that's really, again, another example of what we're seeing, what I'm describing in this article as the contradiction of hedonism and egalitarianism.
Aaron Wolf is our guest. We're talking about Hollywood and Christmas. You can listen to a presentation that he made at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, Making the Case for Natural Law, on an audio DVD of our summer and fall Making the Case conferences. The audio DVD contains almost 20 hours of teaching and preaching, featuring many of your favorite Issues Etc. guests. We'll send it to you for a year-end tax-deductible contribution of $300 to Issues Etc. You can order by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also reserve a conference audio DVD online at our website, issuesetc.org. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about when these things make their way, these things that entertain us from Hollywood, make their way into real life, suddenly we realize how completely unworkable and broken and fallen they are. Stay tuned.
We Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Comfort, comfort, ye my people, for unto us a child is born, good news of great joy, the titles of Christ, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christmas card themes produced by Ad Crucem. Send a greeting card this Christmas season that's centered on the gospel of Jesus Christ. AdCrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com, AdCrucem.com.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Advent season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Advent season, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Answering objections defending the faith, evolution or creation, transgenderism and homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd at Faith Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. Learn more at worldviewsa.org. This conference features Issues Etc. guests Dr. Jan Lohmeyer and Pastor David J. Weber. The San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd, worldviewsa.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Hollywood and how it celebrates Christmas. Aaron Wolf is our guest, managing editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture, and author of a recent column titled Hollywood and Bethlehem. Aaron, you were talking before the break about how these things can entertain on the big screen or the little screen. I was thinking about the recent case of Kevin Spacey, this marvelously talented man. I mean, the kind of guy who the world was his oyster in terms of his acting, singing, everything. The guy had it all. He portrayed most recently the President of the United States in this Netflix series called House of Cards. He's a genuinely despicable human being. And then when it is discovered that the actor is as despicable as the character he plays, we're not entertained by that anymore. What's going on with us?
Yeah, that was. I couldn't help but think when I started reading that of how much of that character was sort of his real-life method acting. I mean, it was brilliantly portrayed, this power-hungry person who used everyone in his life. And I think that's more true in Washington than any of us would even be comfortable knowing. What's going on is that Hollywood kind of peddles flesh, and it takes people who want money and want fame and the money and notoriety that goes with fame, and it puts them into a machine and turns them into a product that we would want to buy. And I think that what happened with the Harvey Weinstein thing and then Spacey and everyone else that's kind of lining up is that their behavior is an open secret. That this is something that all of these actors and producers and directors know about. That when an actress was called to go and see Harvey Weinstein up in his hotel suite, she knew what she was facing, unless she had just got off a bus, because this is something that is discussed at parties and among friends who know one another that are involved in this business. There was an example of this came up. I think Fox published this a couple of days ago, maybe, that about Matt Lauer, who there's all this, I think, feigned shock about. We had no idea he behaved this way and so on. And then Fox reminds us that in 2008 there was a roast of Matt Lauer at the Friars Club, where every one of these celebrities, all of his colleagues, all these news people and Hollywood types, made vulgar joke after vulgar joke about the open secret that they all knew that Matt Lauer was exactly this way. And you just see this list of celebrities who are there, and you think, well, of course they knew, because this is how the entertainment industry, and I include a lot of the news in that, this is how it is, and this is in a way what they portray for us to consume, so it shouldn't be that big of a surprise. I mean, I'll say this. I can't go into a lot of the details of this on a family show or any show that I would want to be a part of, but there was a movie a few years back that was billed as a documentary that was put out by the fellow who was the dad on Full House, who really, I think everybody knows, is a vulgar comedian. And not exactly the character he portrayed on this squeaky clean show. And he goes around to all of these comedians. The movie's called The Aristocrats, and I'm not recommending that anyone in the audience watch this film or really look at YouTube about this film, but it was about a joke that comedians consider to be the dirtiest joke that can be told. And they all try to one up each other in telling this joke. And when they do, we get into the realm of making fun of such things as God help us, a father sodomizing an infant. I mean, that sort of thing is funny to these people. And so, I think one of the reasons I write articles like this is just to kind of say we need to wake up and realize that we, especially as Christians in the church, are very different. Our values, as it were, are what means something to us, our morality, of course, our faith separates us from these people, and they need Christ, certainly. But to go on Christmas and the day that we celebrate our Lord's Nativity, to just kind of immerse ourselves in this kind of hedonistic entertainment, it's just the ultimate contradiction.
Aaron, finally, if you would, compare what we've been talking about here, what Hollywood does both to celebrate and to make its money off of Christmas in pop culture and the message it presents there with what Christmas is actually about.
Well, Hollywood uses it as an opportunity to make money. It is a means of gratification, and that is sadly what the celebration of Christmas has kind of come to in the United States. I mean, it's kind of become an old saw to talk about how we keep moving the Christmas shopping season further and further away, so there's more time, Black Fridays, Black Mondays, Cyber Mondays, all these things that are designed really to make money, and we've kind of embraced it ourselves in a way, and that's the danger of all this, because Christmas is a time to remember that Christ was God incarnate and born of the Virgin in a humble stable, and this act is interpreted so many ways, but it's really for us men and for our salvation. It's sacrificial love. And so the idea that we would turn inward to gratify our own flesh at a time when really we ought to be filled with joy and humility, which is why I think Advent is so important to prepare us spiritually for this celebration, that it is a delightful celebration that is centered on the self-giving love of God, which really is a profound thing to meditate on, that the God who is, the God who exists, gives of himself, of his only Son, in a sacrificial way, that Christ is able to take on human flesh so that he can suffer. And then sort of secondarily, his Blessed Mother, the Virgin Mary, also provides a tremendous contrast to sort of the women of Hollywood today who have gone into a business of kind of flesh peddling and who play this game of winning these parts for fame and for money and looking the other way when they know that these men are lecherous men. The Virgin Mary is the exact inverse of that insofar as that she was willing to sacrifice her own reputation for the salvation of the world. How much of that she understood, I don't know. But she believed the word of God. And that to me is the great contrast here, is to celebrate the word of God at Christmas, and particularly the word of the gospel. It is not a time for gratifying our own flesh, but a time of the greatest possible celebration that you could imagine.
Aaron Wolf is managing editor of Chronicles, a magazine of American culture, author of a recent column titled Hollywood and Bethlehem. You can read it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Aaron, thanks for being our guest.
It's my pleasure.